elite support structures. There are several, about six different elite support structures that work with our elite performers, our Olympic performers, to make them, hopefully, the best they can possibly be, even better, the best in the world. And we need to understand how these organizations, these agencies work together, work separately in the jobs to make them the best elite performers. Let's start off with national governing bodies. National governing bodies look after single sports, single activities. National governing bodies have various roles. The one thing they don't do is make the rules of the sport. What they might help to do is to enforce the rules and enforce the regulations. The major job of national governing bodies in this country is to work with the club structure. All of you that play sport do so through a club, and your club will be a member of the national governing body. Your club will be entering into competitions that are controlled and run by the national governing body, even if it's at a regional or a local level. The national governing body are involved in that. That's at the lower end of the participation pyramid. At the higher end of the participation period, the elite performers, they'll be involved with the national governing body in the plan to produce world-class performers. The world-class performance pathway is run by the national governing bodies concerned. They're selecting the people to go onto the world-class performance pathway. National governing bodies are looking to develop the coaching structure, again, both at the foundation end, where we've got the mass participation, and at the elite end, where we need the best possible coaches to produce the best possible performers. National governing bodies also manage representative teams, local, regional, and possibly national representative teams are chosen and organised by the national governing body. And always national governing bodies are trying to increase the number of people taking part in their sport, the promotion of their sport. Now, to work at both ends of this pyramid requires a lot of skill, and what the national governing bodies have to do is to produce a plan that governs both the elite performers and the foundation level performers. And we call the plan the whole sport plan. The whole sport plan is really important. It's an annual plan and it directs funding. The whole sport plan achieving its targets or not achieving its targets means how much money that national governing body gets for next year. National governing bodies have to produce every year more performers at elite level and better standards, and they have to produce more participants at foundation levels. So the national governing body produces a whole sport plan that in effect identifies what the national governing body needs. Does it need better coaches for its elite performers? Does it need more competition for its elite performers? Does it need better facilities for its foundation level performers? Does it need more level one coaches for its foundation level performers? And what the national governing body has to do is submit this plan. If the plan works, they get money again next year. If the plan fails, then their funding for the following year is reduced. So it's very cutthroat how whole sport plans direct funding for national governing bodies. Second agency to talk about is UK Sport. UK Sport is solely concerned with elite athletes. It's solely concerned with trying to improve the performance of elite athletes and at the same time trying to attract major sporting events to the UK. And in fact, we're very, very successful in that one area. UK Sport is attracting major world and European championships in numerous sports to the UK. UK Sport is funded by both central government and by the National Lottery, and it has full responsibility for all performance related support for Olympic and Paralympic performers. It runs through the national governing bodies the World Class Performance Programme. UK Sport will fund through the national governing bodies the highest possible elite performers and help them achieve worldwide success. UK Sport also funds the TAS scheme, the Talented Athlete Scholarship Scheme, where people in higher education, university students, elite level university students, can get small grants, £2,000-£3,000 a year, to help fund their training while at university. And UK Sport also runs the Institutes for Sport, the English, the Welsh, the Scottish, and the Northern Ireland Institutes for Sport are branches of UK Sport. And UK Sport has to make sure that the various funding mechanisms, the various the support mechanisms that fund and help elite performers are all integrated and work together. UK Sport runs the world-class performance pathway that runs at three levels depending on when the next Olympic is and the Olympics after that. Performers on the world-class podium pathway are potential medalists at the next Olympics, the 2012 Olympics. Performers on the world-class development program are potential winners in the 2016 Olympics, Rio de Janeiro, 4 years away. The world-class talent program is for those performers who can be identified and developed as potential 2020 performers. Just get your head around that. This is UK Sport spotting, identifying and helping people who are not going to get anywhere near medals until 2020, 8 years' time. The production, if that's the right word, of elite performers is a long-term aim. You're talking 10, 12 years to produce an elite performer at the highest level. So it's a long-term plan. Elite performers get funding in four main ways. They'll get lottery grants from UK Sport through their national governing body. The national governing body nominate performers to get grants. And the grants aren't huge. They're cost of living grants. They're to pay for training and food and transport and accommodation. And so they're only about £25,000 a year. But only those people on the world-class podium programme get that sort of money. Others get less. Some elite performers who will be at the Olympics probably don't get any money at all. They're still really strict amateurs. Some elite performers get sponsorship, either individual sponsorship, being sponsored by a firm that makes training shoes, for example, so they get their trainers free of charge, being sponsored by a car manufacturer, so they get a car they can use throughout the year. Sometimes the sponsorship deal is for all the performers in one national governing body, so that all the performers are sponsored to wear, for example, certain kit. So it can be individual or group sponsorship. Some performers will get appearance money. They'll be invited to appear at certain events, certain championships, and be paid to attend. Many performers don't get that money because they're not a recognisable star performer. Some performers win events, come second in events and get prize money. The amount of prize money just depends on the number of spectators and the TV rights. And again, many performers will compete at championships without invitation, get no money for that, and then they don't win, so they get no money either. So the elite performers, very much is the very top of the elite performers who are making any sort of living out of being an elite performer. The UK Sport also runs its Institutes for Sport. The various four home nations have their own Institutes for Sport. In England, there are 9 regional sites around the country: Loughborough, Bath, Manchester, Sheffield, Crystal Palace, Bisham Abbey are regional sites, and at these sites, certain individual sports have their massive support systems running. And in this country, we work very, very hard on our support systems. So if you are an elite cyclist, for example, you must live and train at Manchester's Velodrome, because that is the Institute for Sport for cycling. And the support on offer is vast. It's not just the cyclist on their own cycling round. There'd be dozens of scientists, there'd be dozens of physiologists, there'd be dozens of doctors, of conditioning experts, of psychological experts, of nutritionists, of experts in biomechanics and gait analysis. All them sort of people are there helping the few, and it is a few, elite performers become better and better and better. Next agency is the BOA. The BOA is only concerned with Olympic sports. The BOA is only really concerned at the Olympics. The BOA controls the preparation of the athletes and the management of the athletes at the Olympic Games. They're concerned with the medical supplies of the Olympic athletes. They're concerned with the kit that the athletes wear. They're concerned with the accommodation and the meals that the athletes take up. So the BOA are in charge of the various athletes from different sports that are going to be at the London Olympics. The BOA is a charity, doesn't get any money from government, has to raise its own money for things like sponsorship, appeals, or licensed merchandising, where certain companies will pay money to the BOA to be allowed to use the London Olympic rings on their product and get that link between the BOA and the Olympics and the product. The BOA, as part of their preparation for the Olympics, also run Olympic training villages. There's one in Switzerland, there's one in Cyprus, there's a huge medical centre just north of London, all run by the BOA, and that needs funding as well, so that athletes can get used to the medical backup and the training that is needed to take place while you're at the Olympic Games, which apparently is quite a stressful 4 or 5 weeks of your life, to be living in a hostel with strange people and strange food, etc., etc. Sports Coach UK is another charity, but this time it's funded by UK Sport, and it's all about producing coaches. It's about producing general coaches, level one coaches at foundation level. It's about producing sport-specific coaches for gymnastics, rugby, cycling, etc. It's about trying as well to raise the profile of coaching so that coaching itself can be a recognised qualification in higher education. It's trying to produce world-class coaches, and it has to work with the other agencies involved, like UK Sport, the Institutes of Sport, Sport England, BOA, national governing bodies. Sports Coach UK produces publications and information, publications like Supercoach and Coachwise, and a really big resource library to help coaches. Again, it's a charity. It relies on its income from grants from UK Sport, but it also has annual subscriptions. Coaches pay an annual subscription to be a member, and they charge fees for their various courses. Last but not least, SportsAid. SportsAid is a charity, relies on donations and gifts, no government funding. Get sponsorship as well. And what SportsAid does is to give money, a couple of £100, not that much money, to talented youngsters who are suffering financially because of their sport. Can also give money, same sort of money, to any individual, no age limit, for disabled performers to help them with their development of their sport. So these grants, a few £100 a year, are given out to about 1,500 people. You have to apply through your national governing body. You're nominated through your national governing body. And money is not just there for beer, it's there to offset training costs.